Good morning. I'm also going to talk about electrons. This time is from humic substances. Electrons run the world, right? Starting from photosynthesis to respiration, it's all about electrons. The other co-author is Professor Garrison Esposito. Basically, this work is started in my first postdoc from 2006 to 2008. In the end, I couldn't finish it, so this summer I went back and finished up some of the work, and I'm going to present some update. So, humic substances are very complex. We all accept that. Now, among the various properties, most interesting property of humic substances is their redox properties, or ability to donate or accept electron reversibly. This cartoon is showing that how humic substances can shuttle electron by taking electron from bulk donor and dumping it to contaminant or other acceptable. So, first time it is theoretically proposed by Tretnik and McAlady, and later in experimentally demonstrated in nitroaromatic reduction and oxidation by Dunivant. Now, what does the electron shuttling of humic substances does? There are lots of biogeochemical processes that are regulated by electron shuttling. This diagram is showing that one of the most important is iron 3 bioreduction enhancement. So what happens in iron 3 bioreduction, the metal reducing bacteria has to be attached with iron 3 oxides or hydroxides. Now, in presence of humic substances, they don't have to do that because humic is mobile that can transfer electron directly to iron 3 oxides and hydroxides. And tropical forest soil, that's actually a very important process by which phosphorus gets mobilized, because iron 3 phosphates are insoluble. When it goes to iron 2 phosphate, phosphate gets mobilized. That's how plant gets nutrition. Also, all those secondary iron 2 species like dissolved iron 2 solid, iron 2 mineral, or iron 2 sorbent mineral surfaces, they can transfer electron to pollutants. Also, I just didn't have space. If you look at here, this cycle can be directly attached to here, where humics basically directly transfer electron to all the pollutants. Chromium 6 can be reduced to chromium 3, which is less soluble. Obviously, for arsenic, it's the opposite. It does transfer to arsenic 5 to arsenic 3, which is not good for us, but it does. For uranium 6, the same thing, uranyl cation to uraninite plus 4. So, all those processes are regulated by humic substances, electron shuttle. That's why it's very interesting or important to understand that how do we quantify how many electrons they can transfer or what conditions they can transfer. Because, you know, all we know what we measure. So there are different terminologies in the publications. I'm going to use the terminology used by Peritiazico and Esposito, that is native reducing capacity. When you isolate humic substances or you find humic substances in the nature, basically they have some reducing capacity originally. Chemical reducing capacity is when you chemically reduce that humic substances either using hydrogen gas and palladium catalyst or some other method. That's called chemical reducing capacity. And microbial reducing capacity is when you use microbes, any strain or regular microbes, and reduce humic substances. That's microbial reducing capacity. The work by Peritiazico and Esposito, they found that CRC and MRC are pretty close, so that gives a very good surrogate to analyze humic substances redox properties, because it's always hard to incubate with microbes. It's easier to use chemical methods. Now, the common methods that are available is ferric citrate titration. You see the humic substances here going with palladium hydrogen phosphate buffer, humic reduced, and then you incubate with ferric citrate for 15 minutes, and then extract with 0.5 molar HCl, and then you measure the iron too using ferrozinc reagent, 562 nanometer UV visible spectrophotometer. Now, this method has been questioned by a couple of scientists. Recent work, they found that this palladium hydrogen reduction method may not be appropriate for all sort of compound because they might destroy the quinones. And also, this 15 minutes incubation by ferric citrate may not be enough to oxidize all the humics. So basically, the numbers you're getting that may be lower than the numbers you're looking for or number can rationalize in respect to the environment. The other method, very common, a lot of paper has been published using potassium ferricyanide, which is oxidized, reduced to ferrocyanide, and then you basically find loss of absorption at 14 nanometer, you measure the compound. But if you look at the standard curve for ferrocyanide method and ferrozinc method, if you look at the concentration axis, for 100 micromolar concentration, you see the absorbance changes only 0.1, where ferrozinc for 100 micromolar, you see absorbance change more than one absorbance unit. So what I found is this cannot give you correct result because it's not very sensitive, because for small amount of changes in micromolar range, if you use this method, you are not going to get good data. You're going to get aberrant data. Now, in this work, we used one method, very simple quinone titration by Snitcher, Rifaldi, 1972, that has never been used by any studies recently or maybe a couple years ago with all the humics redox property measurements. What it does is basically incubate or titrate humic substances with stannous chloride. Stannous chloride reduces humic substances, and stannous gets oxidized to stannic, and basically with excess stannous, you basically titrate with dichromate and back titrate actually, and then calculate using this formula. So that's how you know how much electrons transfer by humic substances. So this is the titration in Gary's lab. So objective of this work, basically, we chose three standard humic substances, Elliott soil, Pahoo cupid, and Suwannee River natural organic matter. And we used a model compound, anthraquinone disulfonate, whose structure is known, so that you know the theoretical quinone content or redox property of the QDS, and then you can compare with all this method to see what gives you the. So this is a example of titration plot of redox titration. Basically what you do, you have your sample titration and your blank titration where you didn't add any compound like a QDS, and then from the difference you find the charge concentration. The outcome is theoretical charge concentration. You can calculate 5.46 mole per kg, where titration you get 5.45 from the microgates. So all the other method I listed in this table, you can find that from ferricyanide, it's basically very high number. Also, I don't think it's a very useful number because the error is pretty high. Ferric citrate basically give you a little lower number as we expected, because people already found that ferric citrate incubation 15 minutes is not enough, plus hydrogen palladium reduction method is not enough. Now, Snitcher's method gave the correct result. Now, this is the titration for humic substances. From the QDS, we are moving on to the humic substances to see what kind of data we get. So, this is Pahoo cupid, and this is Suwannee River. So, in the table, you see for hydrogen, palladium, and ferric citrate, you get this number, and then Snitcher, you get this number, which is always higher than this, which is expected because these have incomplete reduction. So, the question is one thing we found, and it is clear at this point that this quinone titration is giving you higher number than the hydrogen palladium reduction followed by ferric citrate. We don't really know whether hydrogen and palladium reduction giving you complete reduction of humic substances. So we decided to run some more tests. What we did basically, we reduced the AQDH or humic substances using hydrogen and palladium, and in absence of stannous chloride, because if there is no stannous chloride, you titrate and you see basically if you get the same results. But basically you didn't, you actually had some charge concentration even from that, kind of indicating that hydrogen palladium reaction is not complete either, along with the excitron. So we got the same thing for humic substances, and if we summarize, if you look at for hydrogen palladium perxitrate, you have numbers way lower than the quinone titration, and then this is where you basically have corrections, because hydrogen palladium is not really reducing all of the functional groups of humic substances or AQDS. So the conclusion, quinone titration is the most accurate for AQDS and most likely representing the correct redox properties of humic substances. Hydrogen palladium reduction followed by ferric citrate is incomplete. Incubation by potassium ferrocyanide produces aberrant results. One of the reasons we did not really compare the results from all other studies, because they are all very mixed, and one or the other methods they are used, and which we don't think that it's going to compare well, because these methods are not useful because they are not completely reducing humic substances. So the funding source acknowledgement, NSF and UN7 of USDA, want to thank Andy for helping in the laboratory. So I'll take some questions.